Toleration be the love before pride and exaltation be the love. Be the love.
You are listening to Be the Love to awaken our souls. We are souls on the journey, and our mission is to awaken all humans to a higher state of consciousness and live vibrantly as spiritual beings. We are here to open up the conversation to heal, awaken, and connect ourselves and the planet to a higher vibration of love frequency. I am Stacey Musial.
And I am Brenda Carey. And we are your co-hosts at Be the Love podcast. Thank you for tuning in and ascending with us. It starts with you. Everything you need is within you. This is your time.
This is Adrienne Elise of the Supernova Soul Tribe.
This is Nicholas David Mann.
Namaste. My name is Ischola Joy Davy.
This is Ron Interpreter, and you're listening to Be the Love podcast.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Be the Love to awaken our souls. Thank you again so much for tuning in this week. I'm Stacey Musial.
And I am Brenda Carey with our special guest, Lisa Marie. We are your co-hosts and souls on the journey, and we are on a mission to raise the consciousness of humans and the planet, and we need your help. Please spread the word to your family and friends and join us every week. Consider becoming a Patreon supporter or a sponsor to help with the operating costs like editing and the many hours we spend creating these shows with quality guests and content. And if you have resonated with our mission, support us in a way that raises your vibration to love.
And if it feels safe for you, I'd like to invite you to take a moment to get centered with us. I'd like to begin by inviting you to take a beautiful cleansing breath in through your nose and out through your mouth, releasing anything that is keeping you from being present. And take another deep breath in through your nose, breathing in calm, peaceful, loving energy. And breathing out anything you are ready to release in this now moment. And take one more breath in through your nose, breathing in light and love for yourself. And imagine breathing that light and love and send it back to all of humanity, remembering that you always, always have your breath to come back to. Hello, this is Stacey Musial of Be the Love podcast, and we're talking about miracle tea today. Are you feeling low on sexual energy? The Mayans and the Aztecs discovered a natural solution for this, Demania. This special ingredient in miracle tea found to have an aphrodisiac effect and helps boost sex drive. They would brew the leaves of this tea into a tea and drink it to increase their libido and energy levels. A cup of miracle tea in the morning can give you a boost of energy to sustain your day.
And this is Brenda Carey of Be the Love podcast. Demania is also used to treat headaches, bedwetting, depression, a nervous stomach, and constipation. It can help prevent and treat sexual problems. It can boost and maintain mental and physical stamina. So if you're looking for that energy boost, visit the Love Abundance store at drvarungandhi.com and try miracle tea for yourself. I have definitely seen my energy levels boost. You can also listen to Dr. Varun Gandhi's episode on Be the Love podcast, which is episode number 106. Our guest today is Lisa Marie. Beaming in from the Sunshine Coast in Australia, Lisa is a proud wife and mom of two stepdaughters. Her careers are a result of her trauma, and this list ranges from serving in the military to a public speaker, holistic health expert, mindset and life coach, author, medical scientist, and neuroscience researcher, and a lover of woo and teaching manifesting. She sounds like a great fit for Be the Love for sure. She has many tools in her toolkit, which we will get to hear today. And because of her own backstory, Lisa has been an inspirational leader for 20 years. Her gift is helping people unconsciously trapped in survival turn their pain into power. Lisa's mission is to help driven, heart-centered entrepreneurs struggling with low confidence, overwhelm, fear, scarcity, radically reinvent and awaken the giant within and to become supernatural. Thank you so much for being here with us today, Lisa.
I am so excited, Brenda and Stacey. Thank you so much. And I'm really honored to be in this space because it is just a place where I love to be and love to share. And thank you for that meditation, Stacey. That was just so beautiful and intentional for just sharing some wonderful information ahead.
Yeah, thank you.
So I'm so curious about your long list of careers that you bring to the table and your experience. So tell us a little bit about this journey and what has led you down the spiritual path.
Well, I think the easy way to start that is I've certainly lived many lives in one, and I've reinvented myself many times over the years, and it literally has been out of survival. And I can only really start this conversation by the very beginning. And I'll just give you a snapshot, which is the timeline events of my life where major things happened. And the first one was my first memory when I was 4. And I was called into my parents' bedroom. And my dad was sitting on the end of the bed crying, and he had a single suitcase next to him. And he just said to my sister and I, he said, I'm so sorry. I love you, but I have to leave. And he just got up and walked out. And, you know, not remembering much more of that, but as a child, first thing is there was instant fear. You know, why is a parent leaving? And you know, what you could only think about is, why have I been so bad that you don't love me anymore? And so there wasn't a lot I could remember after that, because I, you know, the brain is very good at survival and removing things that are traumatic, because my mother had psychiatric illness. It was very violent psychiatric illness. And she was in and out of psychiatric hospitals while I was growing up. So I lived every single day and every single moment in fear, not knowing what was going to happen next. And the next timeline I can remember was when I was 6. And I decided I wanted to be a swimmer. I don't know why, but you know how there's school carnivals where you do track and field, or you have your little swimming carnivals. I threw myself in the swimming pool at a school swim event and got about halfway and started to sink. but somehow I said I wanted to learn how to swim. And I went into a squad that was actually full of champions. There were national champions, world champions, and even an Olympian. And so for me, as this little 6-year-old, which that was a safe place, I was 5 hours a day training before and after school, 6 hours at school. So that meant 11 hours of the day I did not have to be in that horror show at home. Mm-hmm. And but what I learned was how to take control of your mind. And they talk about this now as new science of teaching athletes how to run the race in their mind. I was doing that in the 70s. Because I'm in my 50s, and you know, I was surrounded by a strong mindset, a champion mindset, and you can achieve anything you want to attitude. And so for me, that was already me learning how to run mind movies, take control of myself, because I had to just withdraw and go within all of the time when I was home, because it was so terrifying on the outside. That the swimming, because also this is really important for the listeners. I figured if I was always winning, if I became a champion, then I would win my mother's love as well. Yeah. But in a psychotic world, you know, those things don't happen. And it became her obsession, because she needed to control everything, and what she couldn't control, she would destroy. Mm. And so I ended up hating swimming. So I did that for about 7 years. And this is another really important point for the listeners, is that when we don't we're scared about something, or we've tried something before and it's failed. Weight loss is a great example I can use because I've been working in that industry as well for many years, is that we start something and we might catch a cold. So it inhibits us to do what we're meant to do, or we'll trip over and hurt our ankle. So we can't exercise. I started to get recurrent ear infections. And so I couldn't be in the pool. And so I left, and this was the real major timeline event around the age of 14 for the next transition of my life. I was invited to go to a martial arts club, and it was actually it was Kung Fu, and it was a metaphysical club. And there we learned Tai Chi, we learned meditation, we learned how to channel our internal energy, and the Chinese call that qi. And we learned how to use that as a weapon as well, which you don't go around doing qi strikes on people. Yeah, that's not cool. But I, you know, as a 14-year-old, I learned how to be incredibly powerful internally, as well as my strong mind from my swimming. And I don't believe anything happens by accident. I believe that these were the, because I always withdrew, and that little scared girl was always saying, Lisa, everything's going to be all right. You're going to find a way to get out of there. Just hang on. You know, it was that resilience, that courage to just keep going, because I knew that outside of the walls of the house, everyone wasn't like my mother, you know. So I got to see contrast there and thought, all I got to do is survive growing up and I'm out. So, you know, that was very powerful for me too. I felt really at home. I loved meditation, because it helped me just calm down, because I was constantly in survival. And I also, as a teenager, you gals can probably relate to this, we sort of try to start our dominance of, you know, I know everything kind of attitude. In fact, if you have children going through that stage, you'll probably have memories of that.
Yeah, no, that would be me. I have a teenage daughter right now. So yeah, it's almost like reliving my own teenage years in many ways. I'm like, oh,
it's karma.
I remember now. Yeah, exactly.
Oh dear. So, you know, my mother actually saw me becoming very, very strong mentally, and that threatened her. And unfortunately, that just wound her up even more of trying to fight for dominance over me. And things became very, very serious at home, to the point where she actually told me she was going to kill me while I was sleeping. So as a 15, 16-year-old, I just ran away. I organized it through, it was actually one of her sisters, my godmother, my auntie, bless her soul, because she was probably the only confidant that I had. My sister was just a train wreck, you know. She fought back with my mother, and that was just, you know, that's throwing fuel on the fire. that did not serve her at all. You know, her entire life has been tragic. But when I ran away, I'd also, this is a really important point as well. When you have no power, whether it be a child or an adult, you look for things to either get power or continue to be powerless. And the only thing I had control over was what I ate. And I stopped eating, because that was, you know, I was body conscious going through those teen years. I'd stopped all this athletic training. So, you know, I was afraid to put weight on. And I started to develop a really bad relationship with food, and I developed quite a serious case of anorexia nervosa. And once your brain starts getting so starved, your perception of what you see in the mirror is just way wrong.
That's really insightful. You mentioned we either find a way to get power or to be powerless. In my own interpretation would be find some way to control what seems like in life uncontrollable, like the trauma that you experienced within family, which I think can be very relatable to anyone when life seems totally out of control. And many of us are struggling with that. We're looking for something, whether it's food, like a food addiction or shopping or substance abuse or, you know, fill in the blank, right? Yes. I'm curious about this powerless.
Yes.
Explain how that might show up.
Yeah. The only way I can explain it is to live with a victim mindset.
Okay.
And that, life was meant to be this way, and that nothing ever works out for me, and mm-hmm. and to remain in that cycle. Whereas my mantra is opposite. Everything is always working out for me. all of it.
However, I definitely can hear that, like getting stuck in those limiting beliefs.
Yeah.
And that was a struggle for me for a long time. I spoke so negatively to myself.
Yes.
Didn't even realize that I was doing that. So I'm curious, like what would be your thoughts on when someone is stuck in that life is happening to me instead of for me, that for victim mentality? How does one begin to, become supernatural or reinvent themselves and get them out of that negative cycle of victim mentality?
And also just to that victim mentality piece, right? And how is that tied into that survival, right? Yeah. That's that survival mechanism. And I think that's a really big component in how that trauma is stored and how that keeps us in that loop. So love to hear.
Yeah. And it really is such a can of worms, because you will either get to the lowest point in your life where the only way is up or gone, and at that point, because I was always asking for help to the divine, because there was no one in my life that was a support mechanism, and I was just always I just asking for help, that was literally I need help. And when you are asking for help, that things are put in front of you, but then there's the fact that you actually have to be aware that they're being dropped in front of you, to see that, to then investigate that, and it's such a toxic cycle, because your body is just addicted to the hormones of stress. That's what happens. If you drink coffee and you don't drink your coffee for a day, you get this cracking headache. If you smoke cigarettes and you don't have your nicotine fix, the cravings are overwhelming. This happens in our body with all of our hormones as well. So we have little parking lots on our cells, and that's where the hormones park themselves, that's where the nicotine parks itself, the caffeine. And if these little parking bays get left empty, the body actually starts to protest, and it's saying, this is not normal, I need that fix. And so interestingly, we will do something to attract or create an episode, a crisis, a moment where we get that rush again of nothing's working for me, or I'm having an argument with my spouse, or I'm screaming at my child again, stuck in a traffic jam, or someone's done road rage at you. It's something to feed that fix. And it, as tragic as it is, it's a reality of what is happening to our bodies. because we actually don't turn off 24/7 now. Our little reward system, our little dopamine system is now turned on so hard that we don't even get satisfied by the smallest things. We need that. We need big rushes, or just drowning in substance or Netflix or scrolling to actually have a connection to something. That was a really long way of explaining, you know, what you asked me, but my only experience, because I've hit rock bottom a number of times, that it was just, okay, got to get yourself out of this, girl. And it was because I had awareness that I needed to change. I needed to change for your world to get better. You have to get better. I was very, very blessed to actually be personally mentored by Mr. Jim Rohn. And that is one of his famous quotes, for things to get better, you have to get better. Jim Rohn actually was Tony Robbins' mentor. So we're talking a long time ago. And it's when you have that little moment, because I'm all about planting the seeds of hope. It's when you have that little moment of a win that you can see that you had enough strength to take that one step. That can be enough sometimes for people to hang on to that seed of hope, that if they get enough help, then they will be able to work their way out of a situation. And I truly believe through my list that trauma can be healed, but you have to be prepared to do the work.
Yeah, I think the work is really important, right? It's not just like a one-time thing and it's done. There's layers upon layers and you know, things that we can, you know, that we really have to focus on. And sometimes those things will continue to come up. So it's not just, you know, I'm dealing with my abandonment issues and, you know, and I heal that, you know, those things can continue to come up in layers. And yes. And so, you know,
many layers.
Yes. I've been on this journey for a long time too. And I'm surprised at how many layers continue to emerge. But each time I go through a layer, it's like another layer of healing, another layer of, you know,
growth and expansion.
Growth and expansion. Exactly. Exactly. Yes. And so, yeah, so working with healing. So what are some of the tools and techniques that we can do? And, you know, when trauma is stored in the body, and I know, you know, maybe we can talk about the energy centers. We started talking about a little bit about that before. And so, yeah, how do we know, like, where the trauma is stored, what layer is next, you know, where we're starting.
That is such a great question. Because I was at that timeline that I ended with, that I ran away, I was also that pubescent time of a young girl, young lady, teenager, whatever age it hits you. So basically, I started to have a lot of hormone issues from the age of 16, 17. And I'm talking about the female reproductive area. And because we have thousands upon thousands of hormones in our body. When you talk about hormones, people just think about, you know, our reproductive hormones, but that's not the case. So, I actually ended up finishing school. I had one more year at school and then I ran away again. Remember, you can't keep running away from your problems because it's going to find you.
That's true.
That's not dealing with the layer. That's actually putting a lid on it and hoping it goes away. I joined the army and I was actually seeing a gynecologist in the army, and it happened to be that I ended up with endometriosis. It was very, very aggressive because there's a couple of types, and it actually went outside of my reproductive system. So that went on for literally at the age of 19 to 29, I had abdominal surgery 14 times and had a hysterectomy at 29 with massive, horrific hormone therapy during that phase. They even threw me into, they shut down my pituitary gland. I went into menopause, which was a horrific experience. But long story short, that, and also when I was in the army, I was 18 to 21. Within the first 18 months, I had a very serious accident in one of the training sessions and smashed my pelvis. Now, it left me lower limb disabled. When we talk about trauma to the body and disease and trauma to the mind and body, I should say, and also where disease presents itself in the body, from a medical perspective, because I am a medical scientist, we have over 120 systems in our body of very clever stuff that makes our brain work, makes our heart work, makes our pancreas work, makes our digestion work, you know, makes our reproductive system work. It makes all these things work. So they have their own brain and their own set of hormones. To put it simply, they think all by themselves. Also, when we start talking about on a deep, deep energetic, remember I was exposed to chi and metaphysics as a 14-year-old, and that's over 3,000 years of practice that people have been doing. So it's not new and it's not woo. It's actually real. And what I love to do is make that connection between neuroscience and the quantum science, like the what people think is woo, but they're actually the same thing, because on a cellular level, because my job was to look down a microscope at cells, and when you go deep, deep, deep into thousands of magnification, and we have the technology to do that, it's just vibration of matter. And so we also know that the body has an electromagnetic field. We can measure an EEG in our brain, an ECG in our heart. So we can measure the frequency of our organs. And we also know that by measuring the frequency of a human, we can actually correlate that to an emotional status. A low vibrating human generally is in suffering, pain, depression, anxiety, all of those low vibrating negative emotions. Somebody who is abundant, their heart is open, love, joy, connection, all of that unconditional, beautiful way of living, their vibration is very, very high. I'm getting so excited now. I'm in my zone. And when you look at what happened to me in the first three decades of my life, all of my disease, all of my trauma, like the accident, being left in extreme pain, and I was unable to walk unassisted. I had to use walking aids. That they are the survival energy centers. When we're talking about our internal energy centers, the lower three are our survival, and mine were not healthy. So all of my trauma literally was in that area, it being manifested into physical disease and stuff. And so when we really look at what's happening in our life, and we can look at the things that aren't going well, we can also relate it to the energy centers. If people are afraid to speak their voice and speak out, we know that our throat energy center, our chakra, is probably where a lot of blockage is. I'd like to just speak about the heart space for a moment, unless you ladies have some questions.
Please do.
Yeah.
Okay. You're leaning forward here.
Love the heart. Love the heart space. Yes.
Yeah. So one of the things, because as a child, I was so programmed, by the way, we are literally programmed from in utero. That's that epigenetics. That's a little parking bay on our cells of what our mother is going through, what she's eating, what she's listening to. So we get we have our own DNA map. Like we have half dad, half mom. And then what happens is the expression on our cells is through all of the input, all of the environment. And then when we're born, we're then conditioned to what we eat, what we hear at home, how we're educated, our religion, our culture. All of these factors actually make up who we are. For the first 35 years, we are literally programmed by our external and what input is coming into our brain. And these are unconscious patterns that are running in the background. We have over 70,000 thoughts a day. And of those, about 90% of those are the redundant replay of what we thought yesterday, the day before, 5 years before, 10 years before. And so this is what is keeping our body stuck in our way of thinking, our limiting beliefs, our anxiety, our overwhelm, our trigger effect. When something happens, it's instantaneous reaction rather than taking a step back and a breath and then responding in a more intelligent way. So I was driven by angry desire. I didn't even know I was angry because I thought, hey, I'm cool. You know, I'm very successful. I've dealt with all this stuff. Way wrong because I was actually very successful, but I was totally unfulfilled and miserable. Nothing was ever good enough. Nothing was ever enough. And if you actually then flip that, I wasn't enough. And I didn't even know that because I thought, I'm working through it. I understand my body. I understand my internal energy. I'm successful. I'm hardworking. But when you're successful and unfulfilled, you are totally miserable and nothing is ever good enough. And I was in a leadership conference in Singapore back in 2012. So around the age of 40. And I've literally done decades of personal development, and that's being resourceful. Tony Robbins often says you don't have to have resources, but you need to be resourceful if you want to change your life. And so my second husband, I was facing bankruptcy with him, so I had no money, I was homeless, a whole lot of stuff. So I had to literally be completely resourceful. How do I learn with using free information and skills? And so that led me down into my holistic wellness. And I was in a leadership conference in Singapore. And the beautiful speakers on stage were Korean. And it was all through translation. But you could actually feel the love from the stage of these people. They were beautiful. They were funny. They were so in love with each other and just had so much love for everybody in the auditorium. And they had a picture of a big blue door up on the screen. And that in the Buddhist philosophy, the blue door is actually the doorway to joy and happiness. But they put a different slant on it. And they said, is your door opened or closed? And they were talking about the doorway to your heart. And at that moment, every time I live through that moment, I have this visceral effect on my body. And I just burst out crying. I had this heavy pain on my chest. And I thought, all these years, Lisa, ever since that little girl saw her dad walk out the door, you know, my heart shut closed as a four-year-old. And the thing is, when you shut your heart, yes, it sort of stops you from getting hurt on the outside, which didn't stop me from getting a couple of abusive husbands, by the way, slow learner. But you also, you don't love. You are just going through the motions. And at that moment, it was like oh my God, I've got to open my heart to be happy, because I was my life at that point was I was trying to find inner peace and happiness. That was my only mission. And I had this, like, it was like this world, bigger than the world, the whole universe just lifted off my chest. It was a physical woof. And I was just crying uncontrollably, and my body's getting lighter while I'm doing this. And at that moment, it was just flicking from angry desire into total inspired desire of I'm going to change the world. I'm going to teach people how to actually let go and become that incredible person that they were born to be. And my trajectory of personal growth plus healing, like wellness, and also my success that turned into fulfillment happened from that moment. So, you know, when we do talk about that major energy center in our heart space, it is the bridge between our earthly goodness and that infinite, beautiful, infinite possibility essence, our pure divine essence. And that is where we tap into our supernatural.
Absolutely. Yeah. The heart space is such a beautiful space to really, you know, start connecting with. That was probably the first center that I started working with, you know, probably 20 years ago. And I was, you know, starting on this journey, and I just wanted to open up my heart because it felt really closed. And I could feel the energy blocks. I could feel the, you know, the layers upon layers of hurt and pain and, you know, all the things, the traumas that I had experienced. And so as I continued to focus on it, it just felt like it kept, you know, starting to shed those layers and open. And so I'm wondering if you can talk a little bit about maybe just some practices that you might have to help someone open up that center or begin that process, because I think, you know, a lot of people have a, you know, maybe a fear or maybe a block to even connecting with their heart, a block to connecting with their bodies. And so, you know, so what would you suggest for someone to start just on that journey, on that, with that process, or even deepening that process for somebody?
Yes. And all I can say is that it's just consistency is a real big thing. And I was afraid to tap into my heart because it was much safer to keep it closed. And when we are afraid to open it, it's because we still haven't made peace with ourselves, I believe. And I hadn't, because, you know, I had that real angry desire that I was living by. But what I've learned, all the tools, and it's been little, I'll say breadcrumbs that I've just kept following, of implementing physical tools as well as meditation and breathwork tools, and of course combining sound with that as well. And we know that there are so many different types of frequency YouTubes that you can go on to just hear frequency. But if people aren't aware of that, it's a very important thing to be aware of, because if we are listening to, it's like a tuning fork. If we are listening to sound that is raising our vibration, then that's what's happening internally with our energy centers as well. But it's very important to be in I'm not going to use a positive mindset, because being positive and optimistic are two very different things. And you can do positive affirmations and be in a really negative state. And unfortunately, you're wiring positive power words with a very negative vibration, which is not what you want to do. And so there's a couple of things that I've been practicing a morning and evening ritual for over 20 years. And it's a very simple, like, this is a piece of that process. But in the morning, when my eyes first opened, because most people grab their cell phone as a reflex and just go straight on to whatever scroll that they normally scroll. When you first open your eyes, I don't touch my phone for 3 hours of a day. I serve myself before I actually have everybody's attention take my attention away from me. And the process of when my eyes first open, I take a big, deep breath and look at the day with optimism of everything is going to work out for me today, literally. And then I'm actually grateful that I woke up without pain in my body and that I'm in a bed and that I've got a roof over my head and that my children are safe. And so these little things, which are actually massive things, us in the Western world don't have enough and we have everything. These little things are so powerful. And so I have a moment of, while you're in that twilight zone, which is actually your alpha waves, almost just being grateful for being alive. And then I get up, I have a morning routine, and part of that morning routine first is particular breath work. And then I have some warm water with aloe and lemon juice because I want to just have my digestive system, because we overnight we're just doing a wash of our body, so all the toxins are in there, and so it's just about, you know, putting some great hydration into your body. And then I go and do it varies. There's certain days I do certain things. Some days I'll do a particular long breath work. Some days I'll do some qigong. So it's mixed up a little bit. But then the next step in what I do is I do get my journal. And I write out, I am so happy and grateful now that, and I'm actually writing out what I want my future to be. And then at that process, I write, I've done my writing, but then I go into a meditation where I'm actually through sound, through guided meditation, I am living the life that I am creating in the future. And so those positive emotions are just flooding my body, while the vibration, the sound vibration, is raising my vibration. So I'm raising all of the energy through my energy centers. And what we know, science, fact, what we think and what we feel is not only creating new parking bays on our cells, that epigenetics process of improving our health, improving our cell vibration. We want happy cells. We truly do. Then it's also, we know, I'll put this out there. How did man create a robot? How did man create a skyscraper? How did man create a jet plane? He saw it in his mind before it went to plan to then be created. And so our thoughts really do become things. We create our future. Mm-hmm. But if you're stuck in these hormones of survival, you can literally pick up your past and plonk it onto today and rerun that all over again, time and time and time again. Mm-hmm. And if you are not proactive in wanting to change and prepared to do the work, then you're just going to stay the same. Just unfortunately, because getting uncomfortable is what is required.
That's what I was just going to say.
And people aren't prepared to do that. They just fall back into their, I don't familiar. Like where I am.
Yeah. And
familiar.
Changes can be scary, but, you know, but recognizing that we have so much power, you know, as we know, as empowered individuals, we are powerful beyond measure. And that's what scares a lot of people, because we can create our realities, and, you know, we can design our lives and, you know, create the existence that we are truly meant to be here. When we go through the work, and that expansion is just so amazing when you truly, truly tap into the energy and what your power is as a, you know, as our human selves. You know, we can, when we go beyond that, it's palpable. It's, you know, it's, yeah, it's magnified. It's amazing.
Yeah. I liked how you brought up like these rituals that you have in the morning and the evening, because that creates the consistency throughout the whole day.
Yeah.
And I understand many people struggle with, you know, not grabbing for their phone in the morning or watching Netflix until they pass out on the couch at night or whatever the normal has been for probably for many, many years. But yeah, to get uncomfortable and to choose self-love, and that, I mean, I think it does require some accountability for that consistency.
Yeah.
And it sounds like that's some of the work that you do, as well as myself as a holistic healer and a coach. Like it's doing that reinvention, like how would you like to be? Let's envision that and let's create small steps in the morning and the evening to yeah, make that happen, so we can walk into the creation, what we've chosen to do.
Yes.
And
yes,
as we start to kind of begin to wrap up our conversation, I'm curious, as you focus on the work that you're doing in the world, how do you see this supporting like the bigger picture of healing the planet? Like, what is your macro vision for the work that you do?
Obviously, you know, you ladies are really part of my vision of my web of this collective of the awakened people who are, you know, literally sprinkling their fairy dust out.
I like that.
It's beautiful, isn't it? I'll think about to literally help people just start to think and stop and think, because if you're not aware, you don't know what you don't know. And so how do you know?
So true.
It's a weird thing. But is when your back's against the wall and you're screaming out for help, it's just keep your eyes open, because there is going to be a flag being waved in front of you saying, take this path. but from the bigger, I know that the whole space of neuroscience coming into the not so woo-woo side of things, you know, teaching people that they can control their energy, but to, you know, to join the other great thought leaders and help spread the word is, you know, my next big vision is to literally be on the world stage, other people's stages, to be able just to teach the little piece of the pie that I have, that people can just go, well, I can sort of relate to her, I can't relate to him, or vice versa. It's about who listen to as much as you can. If you want to heal your life, if you want to take control of your life, if you want to become the infinite possibility that you actually are and awaken that giant within, you literally have to go looking for it. And So I see myself as part of the greater collective of all of the great thought leaders now in this space, because of what just the small piece I have to offer. And just like you ladies, of this beautiful show that you have, you're actually a guide. You're a guiding light for the people who are looking how to heal their life and become the true person that they're meant to be, step into their own identity.
Yes, we are all spreading our fairy dust. I like that. So Lisa, tell our listeners where they can find you and what you're currently working on.
Thank you. I just direct people to my website, because it's the easiest way. And My surname is a tricky, it's got a M-A-R-R-E in it. So you've got to put both R's and both E's in it. But in there, I've got free resources that people can utilize. And then I also have the opportunity for people to work with me. I've got my the big piece that I've got in there in my signature course is really working through every facet of our life. You know, we talk about the wheel of life. And I was exposed to the wheel of life 20 years ago. So it's not a new thing, even though a lot of people are just talking about it as though it's a new thing. And it's making sure that we have our physical health, our emotional health, our relationships, our, you know, where our money relationship is, our spiritual health, having all of those pieces of the pie without neglect. It's like having a bucket with holes in it, of trying to fix yourself, and you're just pouring water in and it's pouring out the bottom. You can't leave any of those areas of life neglected to be able to move forward. Mm-hmm. It's like all of the energy centers, they need to actually be working without blockages. And yeah. So I'm taking the concept of the wheel of life to fill the holes and develop power in them, but also working from our root chakra all the way up to our highest essence, to because each segment of the wheel of life has a correlation to our internal energy centers. And so there's progressive meditation in there to literally reprogram your mind and rewire your body to create mm-hmm. a new you.
Beautiful. Well, we'll definitely add all of those links to the show notes.
Thank you.
Thank you. And thank you so much for being here today with us to have this beautiful conscious conversation. It's been absolutely beautiful. So thank you.
I've much appreciated it. Thank you so much for your time.
Absolutely. And thank you for listening to Be the Love podcast. If you've enjoyed listening to our show, please share the love by sharing it with your family and friends, giving us a 5-star written review on iTunes or Spotify, or liking us on Facebook. And please consider supporting our mission to awaken our souls with a monthly donation that helps with the operating costs of this podcast, so we can continue to spread the love. To contribute, visit our Patreon website at patreon.com/BeTheLovePodcast. And stay tuned for more episodes being released on Mondays at 5:55 a.m. Mountain Time.
Thank you, Heatherlyn, for providing us with your beautiful song to accompany our show, Be the Love. If you would like to learn more about Heatherlyn and her music, please visit her website at heatherlynmusic.com. And thank you, Christy Grace at Leading Edge Productions, for the beautiful design and graphic.
And thank you for tuning in. And until next time, we are souls on the journey to align to our divine purpose and shine our lights. So keep on shining.